Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 397. My name is Christopher Keough and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And that's it. So,
yep, just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Last week,
just the
we
two
were
of us.
Short of Jeff. This week, we're short of Travis. But that's okay.
Pun not intended.
Pun not intended.
He pulled his dick. So he's not here today. He went boost boarding with his boss. I don't know what boost boarding is.
I don't either, but apparently it involves a lot of dick pain.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
So due to dick pain, he is not going to be here.
I think he was probably just masturbating.
It might be that too.
Probably.
I think that's probably the downfall of this is that he no longer can masturbate. So
yeah,
something like that. I don't know. But yeah, so it's going to be just us and we'll do distractions. Then we're going to start talking about our news items. So each of us have one and then we'll do our pick of the week and then we'll wrap up the show. So, that's how it's going to end up. But before we do that, of course, we have to see what's going on. So Jeff, what's going on, dude?
Hey, I'm recovering. It was from a bachelor party that was like 2 weeks ago at this point.
Nice.
I guess it was a week and a half ago.
And whose bachelor party was this?
My buddy Martin's.
Okay.
He goes by Og Monster on video game stuff, but he doesn't really play games anymore. He does that here and there. But it was his bachelor party. He's getting married this Saturday. So when this goes out, it's already in the past. I'm in his wedding party, so I had to be a big part of the bachelor party. And I learned that I am too old to do like a traditional bachelor party. Because it's been a long time where all of the dudes go out for like a night on the town kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we started out the day just like at this Woodbine racetrack where it's like horse racing. So that was kind of fun.
Okay.
Bet on some horses.
I was going to say, did you guys play some bets? Anybody win?
We did. Not really. Like no. Some people won 20 bucks here and there, but nothing worthwhile. Yeah, 20 bucks, all right. The last race before we left, we all pitched in 10 bucks and threw it all down on what we thought was like a surefire win. It was like this horse that like constantly wins like all the time. So we're like, oh, this one's got to win, right? So even though if we only get like a payout of like even 2-1, that's pretty good because there's like 12 of us or 11 of us and we all put in 10 bucks.
Sure.
It'll put some money towards other activities during the day.
Yeah.
But we lost and the horse came in like fifth or something.
Jesus.
So. Yep.
So much for a sure thing.
Exactly. So after that, we went out for dinner to this really cool steakhouse that was really expensive, but really good. Just drank a lot of wine and, you know, had some whiskey and ate some good meat, some, you know, good baked potato. And the night's still going all right. And then, a buddy of mine, he used to be into the pot quite a bit. And he kind of doesn't do it anymore, really, because he's got like two kids and family man now.
Sure.
So a buddy of mine got his hands on some edibles, some gummy bears, some, yeah, weed lace gummy bears. So he took a couple and our stop after the steakhouse was the strip club, which we weren't normally going to do. We weren't going to do it. We're just going to go do karaoke or something because the bachelor he's not really too big into strip clubs. And, but of course, after you have a few drinks, anyone's game for a strip club when it's a big group of people. So we went across the street. That's where it was. And probably about half an hour in, I look over and my buddy Dan's just like sleeping on the table, like hand on his chin, just out of it. I remember one stripper walked over. She's like, is he sleeping? And we're like, yeah. So, you know,
he's not sleeping. He's passed out drunk. It's probably a better thing to say in that setting.
Yeah. We're like, he's kind of fucked up right now, but we only stayed there for a bit and moved on to another, lounge type bar. It's not really a club. There's not really like dancing, but it's a really kind of packed, you know, this is like a cool lounge. They actually had a flat top Street Fighter II cabinet there. And
oh,
they
nice.
Have like, they have a bunch of like games like Connect Four and Jenga and all the tables. And
okay.
they even bring in free pizza. I don't know what time it was. But I remember everybody being like, hey, dude, grab some pizza. And I look over, I'm like, I can't eat their pizza. It's like, no, it's for everyone. I'm like, why would they order pizza for everyone? Like, I thought at this point, this is where the night gets really shady for me. And I kind of don't know. It's blurry from this point on. And they had to explain to me that it is literally everyone's pizza. The place just orders a shitload of pizza at a certain time and just puts them out on all the tables and people can just go ham on them. So I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Hey, people who eat can drink more.
Right?
Very
true.
That's probably the thinking there. You buy a couple $100 worth of pizza and then you get another $1,000 worth of drinks.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably exactly what it is. And so, yeah, but anyway, after that, I thought it was okay. But then we wanted to go for Chinese food, like late night Chinese food. So as we're going, apparently I tried to run across the street and my foot clipped onto like this curb thing. And my buddy said it looked like I was getting my balance back. And then all of a sudden my body just said no and face planted in the middle of the road. Yeah. He said it looked like in my face.
That?
There is not. There is no videos. There's bruises. luckily,
man.
Luckily I didn't hit my face. So he said it looked pretty bad. So that was a bad one. I had my, my toque, my beanie, my, remember my infamous special edition beanie, the maroon one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had that holding it because it wasn't really that cold anymore. So that, I think, flew out of my hands at that point. I was too drunk to realize it, and I just kept walking. So that's lost.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then we had the Chinese food. Or this might have been before the Chinese food, too. I was walking, and I think I turned around backwards to face one for a second, and my back of my leg caught onto something, and I flew backwards and apparently, like, bashed my head on the side of the thing, and my wedding ring flew off. And then we had to look for that for, like, fucking 20 minutes, and I was just a puddle of myself, and my buddy had to end up calling me an Uber after the Chinese food that I don't really... I remember the Uber ride. I don't remember ordering it because apparently he had to do it for me. And I just remember just getting up the next morning. I'm like, dude, you are just too old for this shit. Like, it's... when I'm, like, in a social environment, like a house gathering or something like that, I'm fine. I don't get like that, but
yeah,
for some reason...
Yeah, a little more difficult.
Exactly. And when we were at that, like, kind of lounge thing, it was really loud and stuff, and I thought I only bought a few drinks, and I saw my Visa bill the next day. I'm like, oh, let's see how much I actually spent. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, okay, I was honestly buying drinks for people. And I don't remember any of that. So moral of the story is don't drink, kids. Or do it, but do it responsibly.
Yeah, drink responsibly.
Don't be a 37-year-old thinking he's like 21 again. Or like, you know, 20, actually, that's more like 25, 26. 21-year-olds can't handle it either. So, but it was a lot of fun. He had a great time. He ended up... He was yakking after the lounge, but he was okay. He was still standing. And next day, he said he felt like garbage, but it was a good time. And his wedding's going to be Saturday. That'll be just as good times. And that's pretty much it that I can remember anyway. That's worth talking about it.
Okay.
But I am sore. I had bruises. Like, my Tony's like, what the fuck happened to your legs? And there's like a big bruise by my shin and on the side of it. And oh, man. Monday, my hip was killing me. Getting old.
I thought I was the old one on this show, Jeff.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Oh, man.
Getting old sucks, doesn't it?
And this, it does, man. Luckily, this is probably the last bachelor party that I will be, like, I'll need to go to in, like, a long time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what about you?
Not much. So, I mean, we had another one of our, D&D sessions this weekend, and, have you ever played D&D before?
A long time ago.
A long time ago.
I have, though.
Okay. So, we play with, John West, who is a close friend and listener.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry and his wife, Jerry is also a listener, and my wife. So it's the four of us as the PCs and John as the GM. Well, John introduced us, and I kind of wanted this is just something pretty cool that I started listening to. It's kind of a time commitment though, but my wife's really into it too. It's called Critical Role. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's a show. It's a weekly show, where a bunch of voice actors in LA get together and play D&D. And
okay.
They basically stream the entire session, like all of their sessions online. And they're going through this entire, like, multi-arced campaign. I mean, they've been doing it for over 3 years. Like, they started on Pathfinder, and then they moved like a year, like when they started over a year ago, they moved to D&D version 5, and mm-hmm. they've been doing that ever since. So their characters are like level 10, 11, 12 at this point.
Is that really high for that?
Level 13 now? Sorry, she's listening to it right now, so she's on episode 41, and they're
so it's
like
13. Like, is that really high?
20 is the highest, and then getting into prestige. It takes a long ass time to get to level 13.
Mm.
The thing is that they're all like super creative people and all voice actors, so they're actually playing the voices of the characters.
That's pretty
when
cool.
They're in character, and the dude that actually plays the DM, Matt Mercer, he's just an incredible storyteller. So it's like all of this is like his own stuff. And like he gets ideas from like subscribers and people that watch, and comment on the chat. But like almost all everything he does is out of his head from what I understand. So, and I don't know all of the voice actors personally, but I know that, one of them, Laura Bailey.
She's been on it?
Yeah, she's there. And she's, so you know Laura Bailey then?
Yeah, of course. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's in like Uncharted and stuff.
She's Nadine in Uncharted. And, mm-hmm. but she's played a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's like, let me see if I can find all of them. So, Let's see. Ashley Johnson, Sam mm-hmm. Riegel, Travis Willingham, Orion, Akaba, Laura Bailey, Liam O'Brien, Matthew Mercer, and Marisha Ray. So those are the
main ones.
That's the cast. So Matthew Mercer is the DM, and then everybody else is a player character. So they have seven of them, right now. One of them, Orion actually isn't on the show anymore, but, and they sit around and they play like a D&D session. The shows are like, this is why I say it's a commitment. The shows are 3 hours long. So,
wow.
I mean, it's literally an entire session of D&D. So yeah. They start out as 3 hours long and some of them go longer. So the ones that I'm on right now are three, but like the ones that Crystal is on, she's in like the 40s in the episodes and they're going like 4 hours long. But that's these insane. People are freaking hilarious. And it's so worth watching. I think I'm on episode 14 or something right now, and 14 or 15, and they just kill me. I'm at work like trying not to explode because I'm trying not to laugh so hard. But yeah, if anybody is interested in like in D&D, this, like, I'm actually watching this to get, because I'm playing, to get ideas of how to play a character and how to be a DM and that kind of thing. And they're all so good at it. It's fantastic. Anybody who plays D&D is very much worth checking out and watching a few episodes to see if you like it. But
very cool.
Yeah, that's it for me for this one. But I figured I'd let that out. So let's talk some distractions.
Sure.
Jeff, you have one that I am very interested in hearing about because I'm so curious about this game. And I don't know if you're going to talk about it first.
I was going to go let's last.
Okay.
Yeah. Go so, well, first I played some more Dark Souls 3. I'm still kicking away at that.
Cool. Right. How far are you further? On that?
I don't really know. Okay. I can't even remember the last area I beat. It was a few days ago.
Right.
Me and my buddy Sniper went in there and we rocked out like two areas in like one night. So that was pretty good. And then, so that's still loving that. I started Uncharted 4.
Okay.
I not far. I think I'm in chapter 7 or I just did after the auction. I finished that part.
Oh, man. It hasn't even gotten good yet.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, when does it get good?
Oh, man. So the auction is like the first time you really get some action.
Yeah.
Really. But it's like starting at like chapter 8 or 9. I can't remember. But like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, it was like bang, 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 bang. Cool. And everything was more impressive than what came previous. So
gotcha.
You are about to get to the shit pretty soon.
I'm about to get to the Uncharted-ing.
Yeah. And
cause I haven't felt like it's like Uncharted game. Like, oh man, like the characters are awesome. The game looks phenomenal, but that goes without saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just haven't really done anything yet. Like it's a very, very long, I guess, intro into the actual game itself.
Yeah. So you haven't even really touched on the actual meat of the story yet either.
No, not at all.
So when you get to, when they start talking about, why can't I remember his name? The main pirate dude.
Oh, they haven't even mentioned him yet, I don't think.
Okay. When they start talking about the pirates, one of them's name is Two and the other one I can't remember, but really start just really start paying attention to the story because I loved it. I thought that the way they handled the pirate story was fantastic. Mm.
So. Oh, I definitely will. Just as if I were to rate the slowness to all the Uncharteds, this one is definitely number one.
Oh yeah,
but that's
not
bad. Like
it
like
takes a while to ramp up
games, regardless. But so I'll talk a bit more of that like next time because it's when I'm further. I'm playing more Doom. I think I talked about Doom before.
You did a little bit, but how far are you in the single player?
I'm at the very end.
Oh,
I'm pretty much like I think I have one more mission left, and I absolutely love that game. It's
nice.
The surprise of the year for sure for me. And it's probably going to be up there in my game of the year list.
Really?
I love it. That's not even included multiplayer, just the single player alone. It's just so fresh, but yet it brings back some old school mechanics that.
It's old school fresh.
Exactly. It totally is. And it's just like things that people are not used to, like no reloading or no health like regeneration. You got to like get health by either picking it up or killing an enemy a certain way that'll give you health. If you use one of those like finisher moves, it'll give you health. If you kill somebody with a chainsaw, it'll give you ammo. And you never have like so much ammo where you can rely on one weapon. So that makes you filter through all your weapons and use them all. But you never have so little ammo where you feel like you have no options. And the whole chainsaw thing gives you all those options. I love it, man. It's just so, it's hard to even like put into words at this point what I feel about, like, how I want other shooters to kind of take things from this, but I don't know how they could, because the game just feels like Doom. And that's just, that's, to me, that's the biggest praise I can give it. Just because that's just, it's awesome.
That is Doom. Pretty good, pretty large praise. I mean, because I think that, I feel like, ever since Doom came out, way back in the early 90s or whenever it was, I think it was early 90s, right?
I think so, yeah.
It feels like people have been trying to get back to the excitement that they had with Doom, and not many games have done it. You know, I think I would say the original Halo probably did it. GoldenEye may have done it, you know.
Yeah, but GoldenEye definitely. And Call of Duty 4 probably.
Probably.
Those are like the ones that like that started it all, and none of them have really come back and made as much of an impact as like the last one did. And this, it's just, yeah, this one, is, it's awesome. Like, Ace is high. He's been playing it, and he's never played Doom before. So, I would be raving about it, and then he finally got it or whatever. I think he got it actually day one or day two, and he loved it. And he has never played Doom. So, my biggest worry about the game was people who didn't play Doom might not understand why it's doing certain things the way it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be like, well, where's my, you know, where's my regenerating health, and where's the story for one? Like, there's a basic story.
Go look for some med packs.
Yeah, exactly. And no,
that's how shit was done back
then. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So yeah, I'm loving that. And the nice. Last game, I had the Monday off and I had the Tuesday off because I just had one to have an extra long weekend. And that's Overwatch. So I grabbed that.
Please tell me about this game.
And again, I loved it. I loved the beta when I played it.
I missed out on the beta.
Yes, you did. The beta was the full game. So, like, if you played the beta, you played the full game. There's nothing new in the retail at all.
Oh.
Yeah, you had access to all the characters, all the maps, all the game modes in the beta. I think they really were just wanted to stress test the servers, which is funny because the servers were kind of fucked up when the game launched. It launched actually on Monday. If you pre-ordered the game, you got to play it on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so which is kind of cool. And some stores even started selling it at that time. So you can actually go get it retail like a day early. But I like it, man. It's like Team Fortress, but way more hero characters. And each character's vastly different than the other ones, the way they play, how you should use them with their abilities, how they combo well with other characters people are using. I love that it's so based around teamwork that it doesn't really make a big difference. And KD ratio, it doesn't really put a spotlight on that. It'll tell you how many people you killed. And I think if you scroll over, it'll show your deaths too, but you actually get more points and more stuff for doing more team-based stuff depending on where you got your kills. Like if you're just waiting back and killing one person at a time and not making that much of an effect on the objective, you won't get noticed. And what I mean notice is after every match, it'll pop up with five players that the game thinks were like the best players of that match, and everybody votes who's the MVP.
Hmm.
So that's kind of
cool.
Yeah,
I remember you discussing that with the beta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a nice little thing. And a lot of people, if you have a really good healer in your game, most people should be voting for that person if they show up there. Cause if you have not too many people like to play the support characters yet, cause they're not, you know, in your face with guns and stuff like that. And you have to actually make sure your teammates don't die and stuff. And if they do a good job of that, it can literally turn the tide of, like, the entire game that you're playing. And it, with it being new, though, there are some exploits. Like, there's some characters that seem very overpowered. One being Trollbjorn. He's, like, the dwarf character, and he can make these turrets. And these turrets lock onto you so fast if you're in within its, like, sight, and they kill you pretty damn fast. And there are ways to counter, but I think a lot of people don't know all the different ways. Like, I only know of one good way, and that's using Genji, because he has Reflect ability. He's like a ninja and uses a sword to reflect the bullets back at whoever's shooting them at you, and it'll hit them. So you just, when it's shooting at you, just do that, and it usually takes out the turret. But if there's multiple turrets, it can be hard.
Challenging.
So, exactly. So yesterday we were playing, and it was me, Sniper Maverick, Ace is High was in the game, and three randoms. So it's six, the games are 6-on-6. And we're defending the area, and the other team was attacking. So it gives you, before every match, it gives you 30 seconds to make your team. And it's cool because on the right-hand side will tell you, like, not enough support characters, no sniper, not enough damage dealer. So people, you kind of get a good balance just by simply looking at that and what characters you should be picking.
Okay.
But Sniper Maverick went Trollbjorn, and then so did one of the random dudes. So then Ace is like, well, screw it, I'm going to go him too. So there's three of them, and then another three people that weren't Trollbjorns. And the other two guys decided to do the same thing. So it was just me. It was all the same character and me. And I was like, ugh. I'm like, guys, are we seriously going to do this? And they're like, dude, do it. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, fine. They're going to hate us. So I figured this team might be able to figure it out, but they didn't. We just went to the defensive area, put up our turrets, and just kept repairing the turrets when they got damaged, and they didn't even get to the first checkpoint of the level. They couldn't even get in. I don't even think I died that match. Like, I just sat there behind my turret, and every time it was getting shot, I would hammer it to fix it, and the game was over. And then I thought for sure the other team was going to rage quit, because it usually goes you try, and then the other team tries, like round-based. And then when I was like, okay, well, they're going to do the same thing we did, but they didn't. They didn't do the same thing. And we ended up still beating them, but it did take the, it was like a much closer game for sure. But that just is stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't even know if that was happening to us. I wouldn't even know how to counter that unless we all picked like Genjis or like snipers or something like that. And then I don't know. That's when the game kind of becomes not so fun for periods of time. It was fun for us because we were just talking just shit, destroying them. Yeah. But I felt so dirty doing it, though. I was like, oh, they're going to be so mad. This is awful. But it's kind of cool. It's one of those games where people figure out how to counter stuff. It's kind of like a fighting game in that way. Like, you figure out counters for certain abilities, certain moves, certain characters, good strategies to do on certain game types. But it's a lot of fun, man. It looks so good. I love the art style, like, a lot. Like, I think it's one of the best looking games, like, aesthetically.
Yeah, yeah.
Or stylistically, I should say. I really like it, man. I don't know. Like, did you ever play Team Fortress? I didn't play a lot of Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I
didn't
at all. So
yeah. So everyone compares it to that, and I'm like, I didn't really play it.
And that's what I've heard, too. I've heard that about both Overwatch and Battleborn, but I've heard that Overwatch is the better game for multiplayer.
Well, yeah, Battleborn's more of a MOBA.
Oh, is it?
But a first-person shooter MOBA, yeah.
Okay.
It's, like, slower pace and stuff. Gotcha. But yeah, I like it, man, a lot. Like, I put quite a few hours into it already, and I think I had other stuff I wanted to say too, but I didn't write anything down. So
that's all right.
But I'm having a lot of fun with it.
How friendly is it for new players? Like I said, I know you said that like some of the support characters aren't used very often. Mm-hmm. If you're one of those support characters, do you have a better chance of contributing if you're a new player?
I think so. New or as long as you have a rough idea of how to use that character, and the game has a mode where you can just go into like this arena and just pick your character and see what abilities they have, and you can practice them and experiment with stuff.
Okay, cool.
And also, every time you pick a character, like, while you're going into a game, you just hold left on the D-pad, and it pops up with all their skills. And every character only has, like, two or three skills outside of their primary and secondary fire, plus their ultimates, which you get through time and kills or healing or whatever that you can pull off every once in a while. So it gives you all that, like, right on the spot if you need it. And you can switch characters every time you die. You're not locked to that character for the entire game.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty cool. So like,
yeah,
you might be cool, like,
because you can play around with other characters during the same session. Are there private matches?
Yes, there are. Yeah,
nice.
You can totally do custom matches and stuff like that. I think with bots too, which is helpful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's that adds another cool thing too, because like we were just totally dominating this one team, and then they came back using different characters and they turned the tide and they started beating us, and we're like, oh shit, we got to change up our stuff, and then we started like kind of equaled out. And so many of the matches we've had have gone down to like the last second, and that's just like, that's when it's like at its best. When you're
of course.
They have one mode called, you have to escort this like truck carrying something to like three or four checkpoints on the map. And the last checkpoint, if you can get it there, you might be like, I'm so close, but that's like the hardest one because that's where the enemies spawn pretty close to, you know, the other team while they're trying to defend. And then it's just like all out war. And a lot of the times it goes into overtime and it comes down to like literally a couple seconds or one good, like one person who gets a really lands an ultimate, like in a really good position that wipes out half or majority of the team. And it's a long respawn for a reason. It's like 10 seconds because that's the whole thing is there's only 6-on-6. So you don't want to have people constantly respawning because then the game will just never end. And we've had so many opportunities where it's like we thought we've had it and lost at the last second, or we thought we were going to lose and we actually like won in the last second. And it's exhilarating. It's fun. Everyone's just like cheering and shit. It's really cool. I think it's very accessible though. My only worry is down the line, if we don't keep playing it, people are going to get so good at using team mechanics and they're playing as a team that it might be hard to penetrate at that point. But that's, I'm not worried about that.
Is there a skill-based matchmaking?
There is. It's based on like your level or whatever, but it's hard to tell how good that's working right now. Cause we've had games where we've totally dominated their team. We've had games where they've totally dominated us, but the majority so far have been pretty close matches. I don't know if that's based on because everyone's kind of playing it and leveling up around the same level, or if it's actually doing a pretty good job of matchmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool. I definitely give it a shot if you have a chance. It's there's definitely characters in there. You don't have to worry about having like great aim or anything, or if you don't want to be like one of those characters, you can be a support character and not even have to worry about the shit at all.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Is it always 6-on-6 or
it's always 6-on-6.
So even if you fill in with bots, it's gonna be 6-on-6.
It's always 6-on-6, yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yep, yep. Yeah.
Probably gonna give it a few weeks, but if you guys are still playing it, I might jump on it. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else?
That is it. No, that is Doom, Uncharted, Overwatch, Turtles. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I don't have anything new to talk about. So let's see. I played some more Alien Nation. I ended up beating it last week. Started the new game plus this week. It's a lot harder. And they have these Alien Nation. Like when you get past a certain point in the story, they start giving you in Diablo, you had like the ultras that would come out and they have like special traits on them, right? They have like special abilities that they can do.
Okay.
This is kind of the same thing. So you'll run into like I'm trying to remember what they call it, like a commando or something like that. And, he'll have special abilities, like, he can shoot mortars off, or he has this ice, like, area of effect attack that he can shoot out or something like that. And so you'll find those guys around the map. And then there's like challenges where you can actually start a challenge and you have to get through a wave, like waves of enemies in a certain amount of time. And if you complete it, you get like a chest with some good stuff in it. After you start New Game Plus, they have like little mini missions that are called hideouts, and you go into the hideout and there's three commanders in the hideout and you have to take them all out and then you get a chest at the end. So there's a lot of stuff in there that makes it interesting. Problem is that playing it single player is, it's like,
not
I can go
fun.
In. Yeah. I can go in and I can play like one or two stages and then I'm just done. It's like, I really just want to get in there with multiple people and just like just have a good time and get through some levels, just go around an entire map and just destroy shit, you know?
It's kind of what it looks like it's meant to be for.
Yeah, yeah. And I just really haven't had the opportunity to do that as much as I would have liked. But it's still, I mean, still $20. It's a fantastic game. I know that, I have a couple friends that have picked it up. So hopefully I can get on there with them and play. And there's the three different classes. So you can always, you know, play with one of the other classes. I have two different ones right now, two different characters. So, but yeah, it's good stuff. Let's see. What else? I played a little bit more Salt and Sanctuary. I actually just mainly did some leveling. So I think my dude is like level 15 or so now or something like that. So.
You liking that?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. It seems like the role doesn't always do what it's supposed to. If that makes sense. Like, I know that it's supposed to roll through guys. Like, you're supposed to
Be
able to roll through.
Yeah, like be invulnerable.
Yeah, and it just doesn't. I mean, they're like the especially on the first boss, there were times when I was just rolling and I would just, you know, run into him and all of a sudden I'm getting hit like five times and it's like, okay, well, that didn't work. And I don't remember that happening when I played it on PC. It might have. I don't know. It was a long time ago. So it was like in December when I played it. But yeah.
Was that game out that long ago on PC?
No, it was in beta, I think, on Steam. Okay. It was a green light or something like that. And I played
When did it actually come out?
Came out, I want to say it was like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. So it was about, okay. So yeah, I saw a review get posted somewhere and I was like, I thought this game came out a few months ago.
It did. Yeah, it did. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I'm using the Hunter, which uses a whip. So it feels kind of like Castlevania. Yeah. So, yeah, I dig it. He walks around with a whip in one hand and a crossbow in the other. So it's kind of badass, but, yeah, it's good stuff. More Ratchet and Clank, trying to get through that. Started doing a lot of the hoverboard stuff. That's kind of fun. It's an interesting distraction, but
near the end of that too.
What's that?
I'm very close to the end of that as well.
Yeah. I don't think I'm that close. I did the first, I was in the first area where they do the hoverboarding. And then there's the planet after that that's like It's actually really, really big and there's a lot of stuff to do. So that's where I am right now. But yeah, I just still loving the shit out of that game. I maxed out my, my flamethrower. That is so much fun to use.
It's a pretty awesome flamethrower.
Yeah. And then it gives you like the bonus rare titanium too. So, that's always nice. I'm trying to think of what else there was. I mean, other than that, it's been, played a little bit of Destiny, not a lot. And yeah, that's about it. So,
Overwatch. Oh, another thing about Overwatch. Sorry. Every character is just adorable. And so like not adorable necessarily, like cute, but it's like they have so much personality. And all you do is like, you can just talk to people using emotes and stuff like that and like little talking things, but it doesn't really have a story, but it's weird. It doesn't really need one. It's just a little tidbit of something that I think adds so much personality and charm to the game that if that wasn't there, it might feel a little bit different in regards to that. Just something, that's just something I remember wanting to talk about that I totally freaking forgot.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Overwatch. There's actually one more thing that I forgot to mention. So also, one of the thing I've been playing, I don't usually go into these types of games, but, Uncharted Treasure Hunter, which is the,
is that the mobile?
Yeah. It's the mobile one. And it's a puzzle game. So it's actually kind of cool. You start out, I think there's five maps total, and there's like one more free one coming soon or something like that. But it's free. And basically it puts you on this overhead, board, and you have to make specific moves to get a treasure. And you know, there's switches and there's like, blocks that you can move. There's explosive barrels you move around and you can blow up. And like, there's these, toggle plates. Like you shoot the plate and it spins around and it activates something. And there's also these like spike turrets that fire at you. So you have to, like, when you're moving, you actually trace out your path on the screen and he makes that move. So you have to kind of, you have to kind of time when you're crossing things because some of the turrets will spin. So you want to make sure that you cross the turret when it's not shooting in that direction, otherwise you die, right? It's pretty cool. Some of them are rather challenging. I haven't had too much of a problem right now. I think I'm on the fourth map and there's 40 stages on the fourth map and I'm on like 27 or 28 or something like that. But you know, there's, each map has like X number of special treasures that you can find and every stage has a key. And, if you, you have to get to the treasure in a certain number of moves or less. And, the keys open up treasure chests that give you in-game stuff for Uncharted 4. So there's a link across there too, but it's only multiplayer, I think. So if you're, if you play the multiplayer, you can actually get, bonuses with Uncharted Treasure Hunter. I haven't tried the Uncharted.
How are the cutscenes?
No cutscenes. Just it's Sully and Drake just talking back and forth, and that's pretty much it. But the I haven't played the multiplayer at Uncharted 4, but I hear it's pretty good. So I don't know if anybody's playing it. Uncharted Treasure Hunter will give you some bonuses.
Cool.
But that is it.
All right.
So let's move on. Jeff, what do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, sure. There's been some kind of news leakage this week with all the talk about the PS Neo the last few weeks. And everyone's, you know, saying that Microsoft's going to do the same thing. It looks like they are. Kotaku and Polygon.
Right.
Released from sources that they've been working on this for like weeks. And it's actually like many confirmed sources that Microsoft's going to announce two consoles at E3. One's going to be the slim Xbox One. And the other one's going to be something called the Xbox Scorpio. I'm sure that's not going to be the final name.
No, it's code name.
Yeah, sure. So.
Scorpio sounds dumb.
Yeah, it sounds really dumb.
Xbox One Scorpio.
Yeah. It's going to be, this is the weird thing. Okay. So not much is known about it, except for it's going to do all the backwards compatibility stuff that the PlayStation Neo is doing. Like it'll play all your Xbox One games, but it's supposed to be four times as powerful as the Xbox One, which is, I don't know what teraflops are. I know they have something to do with the graphics, like the graphics
not
power.
Not really. It's a calculations.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know Xbox One's 1.3 something. PS4 is 1.8 something, I think. or 6-something.
Yeah.
Neo's 2-point-something. This is supposed to be 6. And that seems really high. And to me, that doesn't sound like so much of an upgrade, more as almost a new console. Because that seems like it's a pretty big jump, which kind of worries me. Of pricing, anyway. And the rumor is also it's not going to be coming out this year. It's 2017. Fall.
Okay.
So it's a good year and a bit away.
So just to throw the, I was actually just looking. So the reportedly, of course, this is always going to be reportedly
exactly.
until we actually get it all, right. Reportedly, the PS
concrete.
Neo is going to be 4.19 TFLOPS. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Xbox One, Scorpio
6. It's reported out at 6.
Yep.
But
6 teraflops.
Neither of these numbers are in stone at all.
Sure. Yeah. These are just reported.
Yeah. And I wonder, it makes me wonder also if that kind of will change Sony's thing of waiting to announce theirs too, or waiting to release it. And again, it's reporting. So who knows if this one, I find it hard to believe that it's going to be announced at E3. Because I just really think that it would cannibalize into sales, or maybe Microsoft doesn't really care at this point. They're like, hey, we're never going to catch up to PS4. That's never going to happen. Maybe it's like, whatever, just maybe if we just let people know it's going to play all your Xbox One games, then people won't care. And the slim model, for all we know, might be cheaper. And the only way I can see this helping Microsoft is if they drop the price of the existing Xbox Ones to like $250, something that's like, not quite impulse buy range.
I thought it was
right
already $250, wasn't it?
No, I think it's $300, isn't it? Or maybe it is $250 now.
I think. Well, you know what? I think they may have done one of their temporary price drop things.
Maybe
for $250.
I think it. Yeah, I think it might be $300. I don't know for sure. I don't even know.
It's at most $300, like starting. It's at most $300.
So unless they drop it significantly and actually like try to sell more Xbox Ones, I don't know why either of these people would announce them. These people, these corporations are people now, that they would announce them at E3 and hope and release them next year with the hope of like selling a lot more consoles. So I don't know. Who knows? It's
and here's the thing. It's like we're always going to get smaller consoles. You know, that's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, the slim stuff.
The what concerns me is that the more powerful these iterative. These iterative consoles get, I feel like the more likely it is that you're going to get games that only work with that.
Oh yeah,
does that make sense?
Too,
so
yeah.
It's like it almost scares me even more if this one is actually that powerful. It scares me more that we're going to get situations where they're Scorpio only games, and then it does become essentially a new console.
That's what I think. It seems to me like more of an upgrade. But then if they're waiting till next fall. That's 4 years, which is the lifespan of the original Xbox. They killed the original Xbox early because it was not doing well
right.
at all. So there was like Xbox One selling way more than, like it's got more Xbox Ones there than 360s did at this time. And that's like, I don't think they would just want to kill it off like that. So I don't know. I'm interested, but it's again, with both these things, I'm kind of like,
yeah,
more.
I'm not ready
confused.
To buy two more consoles, man. I'm just not going to do it. So, you know, it's.
But it kind of said what we said, like when we were talking about the Neo a while ago, that we said that we don't think Microsoft's going to announce or come out this year because they're going to wait for Sony to play their hand first.
Yeah,
for sure.
and see how it works.
Yeah, and they're not going to make the mistake of making it an underpowered console that costs more money again. Like that was a bad move on their part.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing I read was, and I'm not sure how much water this holds, but I read that one of the reasons they're doing this is because they're trying to get support from one of the VR headsets.
Oh, like, well, I know they had the partnership with Oculus. That would probably make the most sense.
Yeah.
Or is it Vive? Which one comes with the 360 controller? Is that Oculus or the Xbox One controller?
I don't remember.
I think it might be Oculus.
Let's see.
I think they might have the partnership there.
I really want to know now. So Xbox Scorpio VR. Let's see.
It would make sense because they're doing the whole HoloLens thing, but apparently that just runs on its own as its own thing. I don't think that's going to be touted as like a console thing
no,
per se.
No. It's going to be that's a PC accessory. It's not even
exactly
really a gaming device. I mean, I'm sure it can be used for gaming, but it's definitely not.
It's not meant for really reality type thing.
Right.
Like, yeah, there'll be some games and stuff, but I can't see them marketing that for Xbox.
Now,
so it would make sense to want a VR headset to work with it.
So this is off of Tech Times. It says, now it's expected to be fitted with VR-capable GPU. And in line with that are the reports about the Renman company talking with Oculus to ink a deal. That seems to be one of the ways they're going. And I mean, that kind of makes sense when you think about it. If PSVR is coming out and they want to have, you know, some sort of competitor, it's just, you know, my concern is now, you know, you start talking about something that's four times powerful or whatever. What's that price going to be? Like you said, you
know, that's scared as shit for the price.
You know, if we're looking at $300 right now, like, for the Xbox One, is it going to be $600 for the Scorpio?
Oh God. Yeah. Cause everyone's like, some people said like 6 teraflops. Like that's on line with like top of the line PC.
Sure.
Right now.
Sure. Absolutely.
I can't imagine it being any lower than $500 again. Or, what did the Xbox One launch at? $400, $500?
$500, but it was with the Kinect.
Yeah. So get rid of the Kinect.
So maybe, 400.
Maybe, not 400. Yeah. But this is four times more powerful 4 years later.
It's hard to see.
Yeah. I don't know. I just hope if they do it, they announce it a good 8 months to a year before it comes out. That way I can start saving my money for these things because I really don't think the Neo's coming out this year. I don't want it to. God, I don't want it to. Just because I don't want to have to buy another console this year and then another one next year.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it, Jeff. Just don't do it.
I'd rather just like, oh, I'm going to. I can't help it.
I'm waiting for them to just put an S at the end like they do with the iPhone. So it's going to be PS4S. Oh, like
PS4S? Wait, what? PS4S? Xbox One S.
Xbox Ones.
Ones. Xbox Ones.
Oh, shit. Cool.
Video games.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, not necessarily about No Man's Sky, but No Man's Sky got delayed and we don't know how long it got delayed, but it was supposed to come out in June, on June 21st, I believe it is. Yeah. And now they're saying that it's probably going to be July or August. So we'll probably hear at E3
of next year.
No, of this year.
Want to put a bet that it's next year?
I'm not betting on any of that shit, buddy.
Yeah, neither would I. It could go either way.
Yeah, it could easily go either way. But, I'm not necessarily talking more about this delay as I am just about how, you know, the repeated delays of some of these games just take the wind out of the sails, man. It's like, No Man's Sky had been delayed. It's been delayed several times. Right.
Oh yeah.
But I'm still excited about it because, you know, I'm a techie nerd and I love the tech and all that other stuff. But man, it's just like, you know, that's what I was planning on picking up in June. There's not a whole lot else that I was thinking about getting. Mirror's Edge, maybe, I think. Isn't that next month?
That is next
month. So, you know, that was the other game on my list. And now it's like this game is gone and it's like, you know.
That's kind of a blessing though. I'm kind of happy June is pretty much empty, I think. Is Deus Ex in June? I can't remember if Deus Ex is in June.
Let's see.
That might be July.
Let's see. Let me search for it.
Because I still need to beat Dark Souls. I still need to beat Ratchet and Clank. I still need to beat Uncharted. I still want to play a shitload of Overwatch. I still want to play
August.
I want to finish Doom. Oh, it's August. Okay, that's even better. I still need to beat. Like, there's so much stuff I still want to play. I still want to play Rocket League. Like, I haven't played Rocket League in a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of games out, and you're absolutely right. But that's part of the thing. It's like, this isn't coming out, and now it's like, when it comes out, am I still going to be excited? I have no idea. You know, this has happened before. It's like there have been several games that have done this to us, where it's like delay after delay after delay. It's like, yeah, you know what? Zelda for Wii U looked really, really good when they first released it, when they first showed it.
And
now they've delayed it how many times, and now it's delayed again till next year. And it's like, do I even care anymore?
Well, that's the thing. It's like other games will come out that do something similar or that, like, especially if it's like graphical, like it's No Man's Sky does look good, but it's more of a stylistically good than.
Sure. Yeah.
Than, you
absolutely.
Know, like whatever. But I mean, like other games that have been delayed, something like Watch Dogs, you get to the point where one of the big surprises of that game was how good the game looked. And then by the time it came out, not only
did it look anything like
better
it.
Look. Yeah. And you
didn't
played
look
better
like
looking
it.
Games on PS4 and Xbox One. Yeah. And that, or even that did think better. So it's like, it wasn't a bad game, but it gets to the point where you just kind of don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. And I'm getting there. You know, I hate to say it because No Man's Sky has been one of my most anticipated games ever since I first saw it. It's like, cause just the way they did that, that first demo, the way they did the transition from getting into the ship, going into, planetary flight and then going straight into orbit, no transition, no nothing. I was just like, I was in awe at how well it worked.
Yeah.
And now it's like, here we are, like 3.5 years later, and I still don't have this game to play. Mm. And it's hard to stay excited for this kind of stuff. It's the same thing with Last Guardian. It's like Last Guardian, when they first talked about it, you know, everyone was excited. Oh, by the people who did Ico and, Shadow of the Colossus. Oh, it's going to be freaking awesome. 10 fucking years later, you know, it's like, we're still waiting for this game. And yes, they said it's coming out this year. And yes, it looks really cool, but it's like, I don't feel like I'm excited about
it. Maybe they need to rebrand it like Final Fantasy did.
What?
Maybe they need to rebrand it like Final Fantasy did.
Oh, God. Like,
yeah. Versus 13 is now Final Fantasy 15. Which one is that? Is it 15?
15. Yeah, it's 15.
And now everyone's excited for it again. It's like people are like, Final Fantasy Versus 13. I was like, eh. But they remarket it and all that kind of shit. And it's like, oh, wait.
I think there was so much backlash about 13 in general that they just.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Just decided to change the name. And that's, you know, what they did. But, yeah, I don't know. It's eating at me. You know, it's like these games that I was excited about. I'm not as excited about them anymore. And it's frustrating because I want to be excited about them. You know, mm-hmm. and I just,
well, you never know. Maybe it's only a month. Maybe it's 2 months. It's almost better, I think, for excitement if they actually delayed it for like 6 months, but didn't show or talk about it for a long time and then be like, here you go. It's like Doom. Doom did the same thing, and Doom just, it got scrapped. Like, it was announced, kind of shown to the press behind doors and stuff. They had an event, and then from that point, it was totally rebuilt. They didn't show any of it until last E3. And it turned out amazing, and people got excited for it again.
I wonder if this is a situation where the publisher was pressuring the developers to show earlier than they should have. Because now
it's possible.
You got this hype train started, and the hype train is still going, and it's going slower, and it's going slower. And by the time it actually gets there, you know, is there any hype left?
Yeah.
So
who's publishing that anyway?
I think Sony's publishing it.
Is it? Because it's on PC as well, right? Or no?
It will be eventually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it is right away, but it will be eventually.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's my rant. It's kind of a rant.
It's not a rant. It shit happens. It just sucks when it happens to a game that you're legitimately looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand that there's a lot of skepticism about this game, but, you know, I am still excited about it. And I guess we'll see some more at E3 in a few weeks here, mm-hmm. so.
But, for the fourth year in a row.
For the fourth year in a row. That's right.
And I'm sure Guardians, Last Guardian will be there too.
Well, I hope so. It's coming out this year, right? So.
Is it?
Air quotes. Coming out this year. It's coming out this year. Yeah. But, yeah. But yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, anyway.
So, hey, let's do pick of the week real quick.
Sure. I think I have the same one as you.
Possibly. What do you got?
I got the Witcher expansion, Blood and Wine.
Blood and Wine. That's the one I've got. So, the one thing I will say about the Witcher, and did you see the image I sent you?
What's up? Was that God of Witcher? Or what is that?
I don't know, but it looked really fucking cool. And that's, someone showed me that today, on a forum that I frequent. And, they're like, hey, I think I'm getting back into Witcher again. And I saw it and I'm like, fuck, I'm getting back into Witcher 2 because
you didn't beat it.
No,
right?
I barely played. I beat like the first boss, and that was like the big, like that, the Griffin. Yeah, beat the Griffin, and then I like started making the trek over to the, you're supposed to head to a city, and I started making that trek to the city, and I just kind of lost it. I just kind of lost the interest. And now I'm thinking about like yesterday, for instance. Yesterday, I popped in Alien Nation. I played one stage. I popped in.
Gamer ADD.
Exactly. I popped in Salt and Sanctuary. I went up a few levels and I attempted a boss fight and died and, you know, kept going. And then I was just like, I think I'm done. So like 10 o'clock, I was done playing games. And then today I was like, I'm going to fucking go back to Witcher. That's what
Witcher's fucking great. So they've done so many updates to it. It plays and it's good. It's great. I still need to beat the last DLC they can't release for it. The last expansion. I'm pretty close to the end, I think. So that's another game I need to fucking beat.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I should start over because I don't feel like I'm that far.
I wouldn't start over.
Maybe I'll just read some spoilers up to like or what I went through.
Honestly, if you're going to play it, put it down to easy. This is what I did and just enjoy the story and the combats. It's fun enough on easy to get through it.
Yeah, I might do that.
See, with some hard parts even on easy, but I have no problem saying, because on a game on normal, they just got to parts where that were just hard, and it was just taking me like 45 minutes to do shit. And I was like, you know what? I don't want it. I just threw it to easy, kept to the story, the main story quests, because at this point I was already like 30 hours in.
Yeah.
And been breezed through the rest of the story, at least to get to the end of the main game.
Yeah, I hear you. And to be honest with you, I mean, if I look at it, I would not be surprised if I got to one of the parts where you have to like put a special oil on your blade and exactly. do this, all this stuff. And I might just get to the point where I'm just like, yeah, this is kind of tedious.
Yeah, you'd be like, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't want to look around for all this shit. And yeah.
I think what I'm going to do though is I'm going to play it the way it's intended to be played as long mm-hmm. as I can. And if I start feeling that, then maybe I'll switch it to easy and just enjoy it for the rest of the way.
Yeah. It's long though. Remember that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I know. Yeah.
Even if you mainline the main quest, it's pretty damn long.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, as soon as I see a side quest, it's like, oh, let's go do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like 10 hours later, I'm in a completely different spot.
Some of the side quests are better than some of the main story quest stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's tempting.
And it sounds like some of the side quests are better than all of Fallout. So, make sure you listen to last week's show because Travis was talking about the Fallout expansion. He said it's just horrible.
Is that the Far Harbor one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's not liking it?
No, he said it's awful.
Oh no.
He said it was the worst thing that Bethesda has ever put out.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Really? Bethesda, I'm guessing Bethesda proper, not their publishing house.
I believe so.
They've put out some pretty bad games.
Yeah, this is true.
They did Wet, remember?
Wet wasn't horrible. Well, man,
it was awful.
It was bad. It wasn't awful though, I don't think so. I played it. I thought it was a fun waste of time.
Yeah.
But cool, but that's it.
Okay.
So we didn't get any emails this week. So we had we released a little bit late. So we released the show only 2 days ago. So
yeah, don't expect that much.
But yes, again, listeners, if you have anything to contribute to our news section, or if you want to contribute to our pick of the week section, please feel free to send us emails or any feedback that you have about our new format of the show. You can do that by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. You can check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Stitcher, Twitch, YouTube. Search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. Look on Twitter and we are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions. And individually, I am Indus Chris and he is Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
So what's going on this weekend, man? You have a long weekend?
Not this weekend. I think you guys have a long
weekend. We have a long weekend.
Yeah, I just have the wedding. So that's all I'm focused on, the wedding and Saturday.
Nice.
So that should be fun.
So you had a long weekend last weekend, though. Right?
Yeah.
What holiday is that?
It was Victoria Day.
Victoria Day. Okay.
Victoria Day.
And what's the significance?
It is something to do with the Queen Victoria's birthday, something. I don't know. It's a day off
work. It's a day off work. That's what's important.
And it's not one of like the sentimental ones you should really know about, I don't think. I highly doubt there's anyone screaming at their microphone or their headset right now, be like, oh, Geoff, how can you do that? It definitely was Victoria Day, something to do with Queen Victoria.
Okay.
Day she died or birthday. I don't know. I think we got it from the British. So.
Damn British.
Whatever. We'll take it. You have Memorial Day coming up.
Yeah, Memorial Day's coming up. So, we get Monday off and we'll have a long weekend. And, so Memorial Day is kind of like Veterans Day, but it's for, people in the armed service who have died serving for our country. So it's a Memorial Day for that. So.
Yeah, Victoria Day isn't that. Victoria Day, for most people, is the unofficial beginning of summer. Everyone, like, cooks out, barbecues, drink a lot of beer. They call it May 2-4. And I'm sure I've said many times, 2-4 in Canada is a 24-pack of beer. That's what it's called. So, I'm getting a 2-4. So everyone calls it May 2-4 because it really falls in the closest weekend to May 2-4. So.
Nice.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's just an extra day and people just party.
And now you have learned something about Canada.
Exactly. And now you know.
Cool, man. Well, you have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I don't think so.
I don't either. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. We would appreciate that. So until next week, my name is Chris.
And I'm Geoff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.